Okay, so our agenda is here. On the agenda, let's see, scribing. Les, would you be able to scribe today? You're up.
Sure.
Okay. Let's go ahead. Today on the agenda, sorry, we've got reviews. We have had a ton of face-to-face meetings, which is great. It was great to see everyone that was there. Sorry to have missed the people that couldn't make it, but we had the Rebooting Web of Trust, the Internet Identity Workshop, the Verifiable Claims face-to-face that we need to give everyone kind of an update on. There's a lot of stuff that happened, so we're going to have to move through it pretty quickly. Any other updates or changes to the agenda? We're going to basically cover all the face-to-face things and then talk about the responses to the verifiable claims concerns that Tontech, Google, Microsoft, and Akamai have raised. Any other updates or changes to the agenda? I do have one item that we might want to talk about at the very beginning, and that's doing the handover to the chairs. So Matt Stone, Richard Varn did a fantastic job chairing our face-to-face meeting. These weekly meetings should probably go over to both of you at this point. I didn't want to put you on the spot today, but perhaps the next meeting you guys can call and run the meeting. Would that be good?
Let's have a bit of a handoff offline.
Yep.
But in general, I think that's fine.
Okay, perfect. 212 area code, who's that?
It's Rebecca.
Okay, hey, Rebecca.
Hey.
Okay, so without further ado, let's jump into the first item, which was our Rebooting Web of Trust face-to-face meeting. Rebooting Web of Trust is something that Christopher Allen, who's a part of this group, calls from, I think it's twice a year, Rebooting Web of Trust happens, and it's really a way to get together and just get a whole bunch of work done. The focus is on shipping stuff, not necessarily, you know, there's a lot of great conversations that happen, but shipping is the main thing that everyone there is focused on. There was a ton of work on decentralized identifiers, which verifiable claims depend on. Drummond, would you mind giving like a real quick 5-minute summary of what happened with decentralized identifiers at Rebooting Web of Trust?
Sure, no problem. This work, DIDs, decentralized identifiers, began actually, the seeds of it were planted at the first Rebooting Web of Trust a year ago. Respect Network, the company I work for, got a contract with DHS, Department of Homeland Security, to actually work on developing an architecture and a spec for them. And the second Rebooting Web of Trust last May in New York, we had a group of about a dozen people that were providing input about the requirements and basic design for the spec. And then we've been working on it since then. So what we presented at the Rebooting Web of Trust, you formed these sort of mini working groups to actually produce a deliverable over a 3-day period. And in this case, what we came in with was working draft 3 of the DID spec, which covers the format of DID identifiers, DIDs being persistent identifiers that, you know, never change but are resolvable, unlike URNs. And then they must be registrable without any centralized registration. So that's why it's really suited for distributed ledgers or decentralized networks of some kind. And the third thing is a cryptographically verifiable, and that comes about through resolving the DID identifier to a DID descriptor object, or DDO. And so we came in with the proposal for the structure of DIDs and then the structure of a DDO, which, you know, surprise, surprise, JSON-LD document. It's relatively straightforward, but, of course, devil's in the details of anything like this because it does contain the public keys that are being asserted by the identity owner behind the DID, as well as a section we call the control block, which is how you can control access control and changing the DDO, updating it to do, you know, change of key rotation or key recovery. And it has a few other items of metadata. Anyway, the group at Rebooting Web of Trust spent the full 3 days providing feedback. We got a lot of great feedback, and we then produced working draft four the following Monday to take an IAW. And I think that's the next agenda item. So I don't know if you want me to keep going about DIDs or just cover that part.
Yeah, we'll cover that in a little bit. So for those that have been involved in the verifiable claims work for a while and the web payments work, I mean, the DIDs that Drummond is talking about are the same DIDs that we've been talking about for the web DHT work. There's a lot of alignment here. It's basically what I'm trying to say. This is stuff that, you know, this community has been working on for a while as well. And it's great that, you know, Drummond's team has really led the charge on getting this stuff formalized in the spec and is driving it forward. I think this community is going to have a tremendous amount of use for the work that Evernym's doing on DIDs and Respect Network has done on DIDs. Some of the other things that happened at Rebooting Web of Trust, there's a document here, outcomes for verifiable claims from Rebooting Web of Trust 3. So we put together a document linking to all the other things that we shipped at Rebooting Web of Trust 3 two weeks ago. There has been the creation of a digital verification community group. One of the things that came out, actually, let me do that last. The first thing is that we had done a security and privacy review of the verifiable claims work. So a number of people at Rebooting Web of Trust got together and talked about the privacy considerations for verifiable claims and decentralized identifiers, and that has coalesced as a privacy and security consideration section in the verifiable claims spec. So that's good. We had a good bit of privacy reviewers at the conference that talked about privacy and security review. We have also extended at the face-to-face meeting, we've extended the linked data signature specification to include Cobalt signatures. So this is for Bitcoin style and Ethereum style signatures. We've included a pseudonymous signature scheme based on Kamenish Lisinskaya. We collaborated with Evernym to create that. And we added multi-signature and chain signature support to the linked data signatures spec. All of these specs, you know, there was discussion at Rebooting Web of Trust about where we could work or continue to work on these specs. So one of the outcomes of Rebooting Web of Trust was the creation of a digital verification community group at W3C. So a number of the security folks that were at the conference have joined. Let me get a link to there. So we've got this new community group that's been formed, and that's where we're going to put the linked data signature specification, the RSA signature specification, Cobalts, and pseudonymous signature suites into that group. Okay, so that was basically the outcome of Rebooting Web of Trust. We did get a lot of stuff done, which was great. We also, Harlan Wood and Northorpe from Comakery implemented verifiable claims at the workshop. They did Bitcoin-style signatures over verifiable claim to express a trust model, a new trust model that they're working on. So it was really cool to see this stuff kind of coming together, implemented over the course of like 3 days. And put out there. Let's see. Yeah, it was Harlan Wood. Sorry, Les. Harlan Wood and Noah Thorpe. There we go. And then we hope to continue collaborating with them on that stuff. Okay, that was Rebooting Web of Trust. Anything we missed? Any other comments, concerns, questions from Rebooting? If not, we'll move on to the next one.
Mandy, this is Drummond.
Sounds clear. Thank you.
For someone who was, you know, well, at all three rebidding 11 trusts, it was remarkable how much verifiable claims just became sort of a presumed topic, and you know, it was a thing at this rebooting web of trust. It may have been just how far it's been advanced or because of DIDs or whatever, but I was pretty happy that it suddenly was that much in everyone's awareness.
Absolutely. If you're new to the call, you can do Q plus to put yourself on the queue. I heard somebody else start to speak, but I don't know who they were. So you can either start speaking now or Q plus yourself if you're an IRC. So what Drummond mentioned there was absolutely right. You know, verifiable claims was just this assumed part of the ecosystem to kind of a dangerous level, right? People were just kind of assuming it was already underway and happening. And we still have quite a bit of work that we need to do to make sure that, you know, all the questions that have been raised around the work are answered, so that, you know, W3C management can hopefully put this up for a vote in a couple of weeks. Any other comments, questions about rebooting before we move on to the next topic?
Nope, very clear. This is Pindar. Thank you very much. That was very helpful.
Okay, thanks, Pindar. So rebooting Web of Trust, the conference or the workshop was the week before the Internet Identity Workshop, number 23. We went to IIW to circulate the verifiable claims stuff more. We had a intro to verifiable claims slide deck there. On the first day, there were 44 people that attended, which is a pretty good turnout. I think there were 180 people at the conference, so we got a good chunk of folks from the conference that showed up to the intro to verifiable claims thing. The first day was it was good, but there was quite a bit of healthy skepticism around verifiable claims. This was the first time we had presented the work at IIW, and there was a good bit of pushback and questions, all good questions that we had good answers for. But not enough where we could cover all of them in the hour that we had. So we were asked to do a deep dive on verifiable claims for day two. I'm typing this in here, verifiable claims. So here's the slide deck for the deep dive on verifiable claims. And we had around 35 to 40 people show up on day two. So we had, again, really good chunk of people that showed up on day two. That basically came, and we tried to answer a number of questions. I think we convinced a number of people that we're onto something here. There were still people that were concerned with the work and wanted to hear more about it. And we basically invited everyone there that continued to be skeptical or were interested in the work to join us for the face-to-face meeting, which was on the next 2 days. So basically the Tuesday and Wednesday of last week was the Internet Identity Workshop, where we did a whole bunch of intro to verifiable claims sessions, good turnout. And then the day after, the Thursday and the Friday of last week was basically the face-to-face meeting. So let me find kind of a picture so that people can see who showed up. Meetings. So if you look at the top here, pictures from verifiable claims at IW. So if you look at the top here of that link that I've just put in IRC and scroll down about a page, you'll see the number of people that showed up to both sessions. The picture on the top was the verifiable claims intro sessions. Picture on the bottom was the face-to-face meeting. At the beginning, some more people kind of trailed in as the meeting went on. Okay, so that was IIW. Again, we had really good engagement with the community. People were overall very happy that we were there and engaging with the IIW community. We were asked to come back anytime and have a face-to-face meeting there. Phil Windley provided kind of an open invitation to continue to engage IIW. We did pick up a couple of new people from IIW to participate in the work, so that is also a really good thing. So there's a general question that we'll probably explore, you know, on whether or not we should have another face-to-face meeting at IIW. And maybe we, you know, if this work is started at W3C, maybe we alternate face-to-face meetings at W3C TPAC and at IIW to make sure that we're engaging as much of the, you know, verifiable claims identity community as we can. Any questions on Internet Identity Workshop, or is there any, and Drummond, do you want to cover some of the decentralized ID work that was done at IIW as well?
Well, yeah, just a quick summary is that we took Working Draft 4 in there, had another, you know, very intensive session. The interest in DIDs at IW is extremely high because, you know, folks aren't familiar Internet Identity Workshop. This was number 23. It's happened every 6 months for 12 and a half years now, or 11 and a half years anyway. You know, the whole focus on it is how do we provide, you know, internet scale identity. Obviously, decentralized has become the main theme, and therefore DIDs, DDOs, and verifiable claims were the, I would say, the major focus of this version of IW. So a lot of interest in that. Again, a lot of a sort of assumptions on everyone's part after the first day that, okay, it's all, you know, we're going to be building on DIDs and verifiable claims, and whereas with DIDs, I think, you know, just so everyone knows, that is that work has been independently sponsored by the Department of Homeland Security, and it is not as yet dedicated to any particular standards body. It's a community effort, so it's going to be fairly straightforward to finish that. We intend to get the final draft or the final working draft we're submitting to DHS here within 3 weeks. And then, as Manu has talked about, we think there's going to be about another month of community feedback before the different DID methods that people want to do, one for Sovereign, one for Bitcoin, two of them for Ethereum at this point, probably one for IPFS, before they're actually implemented and everything is into testing, I would say by January. So that's moving quickly. If it was possible to move verified claims forward that fast, I'd be thrilled, but a little bit longer process there.
Right. So any questions on IIW before we move on to the next topic?
None. Very clear. Thank you.
Great. Okay. So On last Thursday and Friday, we had our first verifiable claims face-to-face. Again, this was not an official meeting. It was just people wanted to meet from this community. So we thought IIW would be a great place to kind of get everyone together and introduce the work to a bunch of folks. The minutes from day one are there. Minutes from day two. Is here. So we had a very good, productive meeting, a lot of level setting. We were able to, basically go through our entire agenda. Things stayed on track. Thank you very much to the chairs and everyone that helped us, you know, stay on schedule. Overall, you know, we did an overview to the technology. We did a deep dive. We talked about long-term concerns like signature formats and decentralized identifiers and things of that nature. We went through the Dana model, linked data, and got everyone up to speed on that. So overall, you know, all the details are in the minutes, but overall, I think it was a very productive meeting. Did anyone else there, I mean, you know, Richard, Matt, it would be good to hear from you to figure out, you know, to hear what you thought about the meeting. You know, anyone else that was there, feel free to chime in.
Go ahead. I thought that the other folks, while sometimes new people can detract, you know, because you've got to recover ground and stuff, I thought they added more than they took away from the time. So I really appreciated having the overlap with the IAW people. I thought that was helpful, because a lot of the distinctions that started to be made was people were raising things like, well, what business rules should be applied to the data model, and trying to confuse it with the data model. And we were able to parse those things out to say, no, we're not focusing on the business rules, it's how do you interpret the data model. We're focusing on how you build the data model. So I think it generated some helpful boundary discussions that was good. And, we have some really incredibly talented people working on it that showed up to the face-to-face that are going to make this work. So I was really impressed with the quality of the people who are participating. And there's not much else to say. I think we have a lot of work to do. So.
Great. Thanks, Richard. Anything to add, Matt?
This is Stone, Matt Stone. I'd echo what Richard said. I agree completely. I think we have, I think we have quite a bit of work still left to do in this kind of boundary zone between the data model and how it's used. And I know we're focused on the data model for the W3C working group component, but done in the context of the larger deliverable verifiable claims. And a lot of the discussions are really kind of, swinging back and forth between these two topics. And it's challenging for us to stay focused and make sure our decisions are supporting each other in each of the two domains. And I think that I see that as kind of adding to the complexity of making a scope of a specification of this nature. But I would say I learned a lot from the people that were there. The big brains in the room were really, really good. On the second day, I felt like I didn't say very much at all, and it was just kind of going to school with the technology and the way of thinking for this topic. And it was seemed like there's a good vibe and everyone's working really well together. And I expect us to move quickly as possible through it.
Awesome. Thanks, Matt. Anyone else there that was there that has some color perspective they'd like to add? All right. If not, it was a great first meeting. We are probably going to have to do something like that again once the working group is formed. But we could probably, we have some plans, a number of us kind of chatted about how we could bring newcomers to the group up to speed more quickly at a separate face-to-face, or at a three-day face-to-face, where the first day is we basically do what we did at this last week's face-to-face, and then the next 2 days would be focusing on issues and items. Okay. If there are no other thoughts on the face-to-face meetings, we're going to move on. One thing that would be good to do is Phil Archer has joined us from W3C today on the call. So, Phil, would you mind giving us just a quick introduction to kind of you and your area at W3C, as well as your interest in the work?
Phil, sure. Hello, everybody. I'm Phil. So my role at W3C is to work on what one can loosely call data-related standards. Until we had a reorganization a few weeks ago, my title was Data Activity Lead. We don't have activities anymore. Now they call me Data Specialist or Data Strategist, all of which just means that when potential working groups come up that aren't anything to do with data and not specifically related to XML, they generally land on my lap. I've been asked to marshal this potential working group through the chartering process. Manu gave me a briefing on it earlier in the week. I'm trying to catch up on all the work that's been going on. A lot of the kind of thing that I generally have to do to get a working group up and running, you've already done, which is fantastic. That makes my job 99% done. You've already asked around the community. You've found out who is interested. You've found out the people who, for whatever reason, don't want it to go ahead, and we've talked about this, and we've got that evidence. So my role now is to do any final edits that need doing on the charter, which, looking at it briefly, seem minimal. I understand that two people who I haven't yet had the pleasure of meeting, namely, well, I don't know if I meant to name them or not, Manuel, I'll be careful on that one, two people who I don't personally know, are potentially going to be chairs of the potential working group. Everything's, you know, couched in potential, maybe, ifs, buts, everything else. So I need to speak to those people, and I need to generally get an idea of what this group would need to do, how much is involved, and so on. So to get you from where you are, which is a long way towards getting working group over the hump into actually having a formal W3C working group, which is, I believe, is what is required here. Is that the kind of thing you wanted to know, Manuel, or anything specific you wanted to know?
Absolutely. No, I mean, you know, I think what other people in the group that haven't interacted with you should know is that, I mean, Phil's absolutely fantastic. We would love to have you as a champion for the stuff that we're working on. Phil's really led the charge when it comes to linked data at W3C and data in general at W3C. So, you know, thrilled to have you join the call, Phil.
Well, I'm pleased to be here. And I say it's great to see such a large group already formed, which is fantastic. It's clear that there's a good degree of interest and groundswell, and I understand already a good existing implementation base. And I know that you also got together people who've said that they'll become W3C members if the group goes ahead. That always goes down very well. You know, we like that. So I'm going to throw one awkward question at you, which I forgot to ask you, Manu, the other day. So this is to the group as a whole, particularly people who I believe have already done implementations. So if you've already got an implementation of verifiable claims, assuming the group goes ahead, and I'm pretty confident that it will, by the way. So you work through the process and you go through wide review, and somebody who you don't know, probably on the other side of the world, they're really awkward, and they end up making a point. You think, oh yeah, you're right, we've got to put that in. Oh, okay. So then you change your spec. Are you going to change your implementations? Are you ready to do that?
I can only speak for DigitalBazaar's implementation, but yes, I know we've got, you know, Eric Korb here from AccreditTrust that also has an implementation. He'll have to speak for AccreditTrust. And then, Phil, you have to be a bit careful about how you ask that question. There are other people here that have implemented open badges. The folks on the call that have implemented open badges or some version of open badges, you can embed open badges in verifiable claims. So those people are also going to have to say whether or not they change the spec if we have spec changes. So, you know, for the folks that are implemented on the call, please speak up now. Richard, you're on the queue.
We're in the open badge implementation space. You know, the reason we haven't done more with open badges is because it doesn't fully meet our needs for what verifiable claims would do. So we are actually implemented, but we are anticipating the changes and needing the changes that we're expecting to come out of the verifiable claims work. So we ETS would definitely be willing and needing to change to respond to the adjustments in the spec.
Thank you.
Thanks, Richard. Carrie's on the queue.
Excuse me. I can't speak to open badges. I don't think there is anyone here from Badge Alliance or IMS Global currently. But I can say that we're working on the version 2.0, so we're in a place to make adjustments to adapt any changes.
Great. Thank you.
Awesome. Thank you, Carrie. David Crocker on the queue.
No, David Chadwick, actually.
I'm sorry, David Chadwick. Go ahead.
Yeah, so we've got an implementation which we've done, And it's obviously because it's not standardized, we've invented some of our own stuff, including the protocol, and we've based it on FIDO. And we would like to change it, but it's with it being a university, it's a question of getting funding. So I cannot promise to change it. It all depends on whether we get funding or not to do the work.
Awesome. Thank
you, David.
That's
a situation I understand very well.
Nathan, on the queue.
So at Evernim, we've been working on a reference implementation inside of Sovereign, and we're already in discussions on how we can make the implementation of verifiable claims and zero knowledge proofs match what's going on here with the working group.
Great.
This is Matt Stone from Pearson. We have a product called Acclaim that is an implementation of the Open Badge spec. We've been fairly active in that organization, both extending OBI from the first version and driving some of the needs that we're talking about in the verified credentials space. And our challenge, I think, is going to be to bring these two together so they're less discreetly different.
Awesome.
Right.
Thank you. So, Phil, hopefully that – oh, and Eric, you're on the queue. Eric, you're on the queue. Might be muted. Oh, never mind. He said he lost his phone connection. So Phil, hopefully that answers your question. We have people that have implemented or are implementing, and they do want to, you know, are all open to changing the specification.
I should say, having said that, that I would imagine that whilst I would imagine there will be some changes, I would also be very confident that they would be a small delta rather than a massive rewrite. I mean, I have a similar situation in one of my other working groups, the permissions and obligations expression, which is a long-winded way of saying ODRL, which is a rights expression language. It's been around for donkey's years. People have had ODRL in their system for years. And we had to go through the same thing. I asked, again, as bluntly as I could without being rude, asked the same question of people there. He said, yeah, of course it would, of course it would, of course it would. And then you get in the working group and they say, oh, hang on, I can't do that because that goes against what I've already got. So there's always a bit of, you know, playoff between the two. And of course, nobody wants you to have to rewrite everything. Of course not. Of course you want to maintain as much as what you've got as you can. It's just a general kind of, you know, impression that some delta may come up, otherwise there's no point doing it, and some willingness, and I've heard nothing but positive things. So thank you very much.
Awesome, thank you. And so, Eric, you were on the queue to weigh in, so go ahead.
Yeah, sorry, I hit the off button instead of the mute button. So this is Eric Orb from a credit trust. We have implementations of the verifiable claim data format. We've also successfully embedded open badge formats into our credentials so that we can support both formats. So we believe this format is the best one because it allows us to do transformations easily. So we're very open to adopting whatever comes to the spec because we've also seen the proof in the pudding. So we're also very involved in the IMS Global. We're an IMS Global contributing member. We're part of the Open Badge Alliance. So we're happy to join forces in trying to bring the groups together in a common standard.
Manu, tell me to stop because you need to move on if you have to. But let me, if I have time, forgive me, I'm coming to this fresh. So can you give me a briefing of what Open Badge is? And you mentioned the Open Badge Alliance. Does that mean there's a network of people we should be talking to?
Yeah, and already, they're already engaged. So the Open Badges folks, I don't think Nate Otto is here today, but he's usually here. We had the Open Badges folks represented by LRNG and Collective Shift, who was the other one, Rob? I forget which organization he was from, but we had Digital Promise. They are already engaged in the work, Phil, so I don't know if there's that much work more that needs to do. We can give you some background on it. Kerry was on the queue to talk a bit about open badges, so Kerry, if you don't mind, put yourself back on the queue. I do want them to kind of get the definition from you. But before you go, Kerry, Matt Stone's on the queue.
I was just going to say, and maybe we're spending more time on this topic than we necessarily planned, so I'll try to be quick. But I think one of the things about the willingness to conform for those of us that are kind of bigger players in the space, like ETS and Pearson, we've been trying to do this individually and independently for 2 decades. The whole point of this is interoperability and the a mechanism for sharing this kind of data. And if we can't implement the standard, then we really don't achieve the goal that we're after. So I think we're all trying to figure out how to do it on the best course and speed. But we really have to sign up with that being our endpoint.
Great, thanks, Matt.
Thank
and then
you,
Carrie,
yeah.
Carrie, would you mind giving a quick intro to Open Badges?
Sure. Open Badges was a community-based spec incubated by Mozilla, started about 6 years ago. And there was a Badge Alliance, which is an organization that was shepherding the community and the work on the specification. And as it's mentioned in the chat, IMS Global will now be taking over ownership of the specification as of January 1st.
Awesome. Thank you, Carrie. And Phil, to give you a bit more background, you can look at Open Badges as kind of a vocabulary, a linked data vocabulary, plus a set of operating and business rules. But because Open Badges are linked data and verifiable claims are linked data, they go together like peanut butter and jelly. So they go together well. Okay, thank you very much for the intro, Phil, and that actually dovetails really nicely into the last agenda item that we have today. We have, a number of responses that were sent in to the verifiable claims work while we were at our face-to-face meeting. So let me get the link to those that haven't seen it. The input is mostly from Tontek Celik. We don't know if his input is on behalf of Mozilla or not. We also have input from Microsoft and Google, and kind of to a degree from Akamai. So Tontek's question basically is, he opens up and he says, out of curiosity, is this just a big cheerleading technology wish list thread, or are y'all actively implementing verifiable claims prototypes and trying them out on the open web? What we just said over the last 15 minutes is an answer to that question, right? Mike Champion and Chris Wilson from Google are also saying they don't believe that the work has a lot of implementation or has been incubated much. And so basically what we can do is we can send these minutes and the audio from this call to them as proof that there are people implementing, there are people that will modify their implementations if there's a working group that produces a spec, and that, this is not a cheerleading exercise. These are real companies, some of them very, very large, that want to interoperate and need a working group to produce a document that they can interoperate around. Okay, so the question, I think the open question to the group is, how are you going to respond to these questions from Microsoft, Google, Tontek, and potentially Akamai? There are really two questions. One is, are there people implementing? And then the second question, which I completely am blanking on, do we need a working group is the second question. So we talked about this at the face-to-face meeting, and I think the consensus in the room was that, yes, there are people implementing and have been for a while, and in some cases in ETS and Pearson's case, you've said you've been doing this for 2 decades now in one degree or another, which answers the second question, which is why do you need a working group? We need a working group because there are a bunch of companies in the room right now that want to interoperate, and we need a spec that we are going to interoperate around. We've already done implementations. We just need to, finalize this stuff so everybody can clean up their implementations so that we can have interoperability. So the question of the group is, do we just take what the, our minutes from here and respond with that? Or do we ask all of the people that spoke up on the call today to say that, but in an email, and send it to Chris Wilson, Tontech, and CC the comments list so that there is a, you know, not a flood of email, but it's very clear that there is there are implementations and people want this to happen. Katie, you're on the queue.
Yeah. I don't know about the flood of emails, but I think that that talking about, you know, which use cases matter to you and implementations that exist today are important for them to see, because their rationale is there is no reason for this. And my concern is that they're going to continue to scope it so small it's going to be useless, and then they're going to say, oh, this is useless. So I would just, I'm not sure whether it's individual things or individual things that get sent to you and then put together and then sent as a single thing. I'm not sure the barrage of emails helps with their animosity. Just my thoughts.
Thanks, Katie. So what I could do is I could send an email back, point to the minutes from today where we have a bunch of people saying, yes, we've got implementations, yes, we want a working group. Point to the audio where they're saying that, and I can CC everyone that spoke up today on the email, right? And then it will be up to those folks to say something extra if they feel it needs to be said. So, you know, what might happen is, you know, Chris or Mike might come back and say that's not enough, or Tontech might come back and say he's not convinced, at which point all of you will be on the thread so you can comment with what Katie said, why the use case, you know, why a certain use case is important to you, and yes, you've done implementations, and yes, you want a working group. Dave, do you want to say what you said in IRC?
Sure. I just wanted to point out that I think we've gone through this exercise a number of different times, and it sort of feels like every time that we've done it, the representatives from Google and Microsoft have responded by saying, we either don't believe you or we just don't get it, or we're not listening. I'm not really sure what's going on there, but they're not being convinced by the community here saying that we're doing implementations, that we need interoperability. So I don't know how many times it can be said. Certainly, I guess we can do it again, but I want to avoid us spinning our wheels doing all this extra work when it doesn't seem like it has a lot of payoff.
Okay. Good input. Thank you, Dave. Right. And as you know, Phil's pointing out, every W3C member gets one vote. No one gets a veto. So let's see, trying to collect all this together. Let me know if this sounds okay to folks. We'll send out an email. We'll cite the minutes where everyone spoke up. We'll cite the audio logs where everyone spoke up. We will include the implementer commitments survey results, which we collected 6 months ago. And then I'll CC everyone, and we'll just leave it at that. And then if there's pushback, then people in that are CC'd can choose to engage or not. Dave is correct. We have answered these sets of questions probably four times now, with data, with email. So if this last response isn't convincing, I think the community in general doesn't know exactly what would be convincing to those organizations. Does anyone have a concern or an issue with that strategy?
I'd be interested in maybe Phil opining on, I'm sorry, I didn't put myself on the queue. I just sort of started speaking.
Go ahead.
on how we kind of maybe put the final nail in this coffin. I feel like I've written this email 6 times, and I'm Pearson. I represent some real drive to get this done, and I feel like I'm swimming upstream, and it's unreasonable.
What can I say? I got involved in this approximately 2 days ago. So this is all new. The community is new. So forgive me for, and I guess, and I hope that actually presents a positive aspect in that the new organization W3C means that I've been put in charge of seeing this through. And personally, I'm not only convinced, I'm also overwhelmed rather by the amount of work that has gone into this. I know that other conversations have gone on with a variety of people, and I can't tell you what the director decisions are going to be. I can't tell you what the membership decisions are going to be, but I can tell you that we as a team are actively pushing this through, and personally I expect this to go through, and I expect there to be a working group, I would imagine, given the date today, probably starting in January, I would hope, but we've got to go through the process to do it. I appreciate the comments there. I know people have provided this information, and we will, I expect the process to operate. And just to, stay out loud what I've put on IRC, we are proud of the fact, as is true in most but not all standards bodies, that everyone has an equal vote, and we mean it.
Awesome. Thank you. Great, Phil. Okay, well, then that's what we will do. We'll just go ahead and put that response together. I'm trying to think of next steps after that. We're basically going to put that together. And, Phil, at this point, I think we've done everything that we can. Let us know if there's more that we can do. But I think the calls are going to shift to talking about the technical issues around the spec at this point. We've the package is out there for W3C to consider. Clearly, Phil will continue to be responsive, as we've always been, to charter changes and comments and questions and things of that nature. But I think at this point, we can switch to doing a bit more technical work than we've been doing over the past 6 months or so.
That's always a lot less frustrating.
Okay. Wonderful. Thanks, everyone, for the call today. Is there anything else that we need to discuss before the call next week? Okay, and just a word of warning, I'm going to be, unfortunately, in Chicago talking about verifiable claims to the insurance industry next Tuesday during our call, so I will not be able to attend. But our fearless CG chairs will be able to run that call, and so Matt and Richard will have a discussion about how to put that together for next week at some point this week. Okay, that's it for the call. Thank you, everyone, for joining. Thank you, Phil, for joining us. Have a great week, and we'll chat again next Tuesday. Thanks.
Bye, everyone.
Thanks, everyone. Bye-bye.
Is it just me, or did Manager drift off?